if they are choosing to do wedding ceremonies. The Judicial Code of Ethics requires that they do so on a non-discriminatory basis.
Most people are very supportive, and it's very exciting to be able to reaffirm what our state stands for and to accept that people will be treated equally.
It's wonderful. It's amazing.
It is very exciting.
To be given the opportunity to have the same rights and obligations as every other citizen in Iowa is, it's an amazing thing.
We are going to have our ceremony on Friday, the 1st, so we're going to wait a few days.
Congratulations. Well, some voices from Iowans who gathered in various places, courthouses, to do what the Supreme Court in Iowa says now can be done in that state. One man, one woman, a new definition of marriage for Iowa. We're going to be talking about gay marriage ceremonies being performed in Iowa. Mike Hartwig is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Tuesday afternoon, the 28th of April. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MY-I-E, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Mike Hartwig is Vice President of the Iowa Family Policy Center based in Pleasant Hills, Iowa. Mike, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having us.
How would you describe the mood among Iowans now that the Supreme Court's decision has come to fruition and same-sex marriage ceremonies are being performed in Iowa?
I don't really care what you're hearing from all the media outlets, but I can tell you the grassroots, we're all thrown up in our mouths because it's just sickening. It just really is, and nobody's really covering the other side of it. I think a lot of people are just really kind of hanging there with their mouths open and just wondering how in the world did this happen, and you know, we're not happy about it. And the most troublesome part of it is that, I mean, yeah, I don't care where you stand on the same-sex marriage issue, but the fact that the Iowans never even got to voice their opinion on it, it was just rammed down our throats, and it's just really a sad day.
How the heck did it happen?
Well, I think, you know, I've been involved in this battle now for about 10 years, and, you know, we tried to warn people that this was coming. We kind of saw it coming. We tried to get the DOMA law, and we did successfully, but that's what the Supreme Court overturned. But it was just one incremental step after another. Lambda Legal came in, and they picked out six different states that they tried this lawsuit on, and we were just all shocked that Iowa was the one that it came through on. Because Iowa has such a difficult time of changing our constitution, they went after us. And then, of course, we had a liberal governor, and then we started having a liberal legislature. It was a coordinated attack on Iowa, and if they can do that here, they can pretty much do it anywhere. But it was a coordinated attack. I mean, Tim Gill, a pretty pronounced homosexual, started funding candidates that were targeting our best pro-marriage people, and one by one they were knocked off. Atlantic Monthly ran a story several months ago about that, highlighting how he was able to coordinate several thousand dollars, tens of thousands of dollars coming in from around the country into Iowa, little legislative districts, in supporting these liberal candidates that were in favor of same-sex marriage, and intentionally knocking off our best people. And next thing you know, we've got a legislature that's full of men and women who aren't willing to stand up for it. We can't put the votes together. But, so now we're having to live with the residual effects. And I'm afraid the people down in your neck of the woods are going to have to deal with it too, because you know that people are coming up here to get married and they're going down there and to see what the judges are going to do with those marriage certificates.
It's an interesting strategy because I understand that Iowa does not have a residency requirement,
right.
So it makes a perfect springboard from which to export gay marriage from Iowa.
Yep. One of the early things that happened here is we had a couple that came from Vermont, and they came here to Iowa to get a divorce. And it really set up an interesting legal paradox because in order to grant that divorce, he had to recognize the marriage. Well, he tried it in Polk County, which is where Des Moines is, and all the judges threw it out, so they found a judge in Sioux City that did that, and the judge recognized the marriage first, and then he granted the divorce, and then they used that kind of as a platform to make a case for same-sex marriage.
Had they made an attempt to do what was done, I think, in Vermont, mm-hmm. and that is to push it through the legislature, would they have had any success in Iowa?
No, no. Even the Democrat, I mean, no matter, they don't have the votes on it. They really don't. The thing is that nobody wants to stand up. They, even the closet conservative Democrats, they don't want to stand up and be the ones to take a leadership role on it. It's going to be very interesting next year to see what happens, because a number of them are going back home, and I mean, this is the hot topic. You can't go to a community forum where these legislators are speaking without it just consuming the whole discussion. So
Iowa is famous for its political grassroots. I mean, given the fact that it has the caucus every 4 years and that I'm wondering, what can the average Iowan citizen do now that the highest court in the land has, by judicial fiat, given Iowans gay marriage?
Well, there's a lot that they can do, and they're all getting harassed. I mean, there's no question about that. And then we've had more interest, people calling in, say, hey, I want to run for office. What do I need to do? And they're taking up papers, and it just is really, there's kind of a groundswell that's happening. A lot of people are waking up that, man, this is not going to happen in Iowa, and they're bound and determined to turn the tide on this. And I think there is so much, there's so many people that are upset that there's new energy here like we've never seen before. And despite all the glorious things that the paper is trying to tell you, or the news media is trying to tell you, that out in the grassroots, this is not the case.
My in-laws all live in Iowa, in the Cedar Rapids area,
mm-hmm. yep.
and I've had an opportunity through this radio program to talk to a number of listeners in Iowa. I was at a conference in Minneapolis and came across a pastor from Iowa who said, you know, this really has people shocked at first and then stirred up. What word of warning would you issue to people who don't live in Iowa, but where this may come in some form or another in the future? What sort of warning would you give to them, the kind of warning that you tried to give to Iowans when this was in the works?
Well, one of the things that you got to be aware of is keep track of the giving toward legislators. And I know it's a laborious work, but when you start seeing your very best people on this marriage issue, and they're suddenly running races that are in the $100,000 range for a political race in a state house race, that means something's going on. And when we, after the election, we went back and started looking at all this, and we were shocked to see where all this money was coming from. And then we, you know, we're losing votes, or we're losing good solid legislators that have been in the office for years, and just great, good, solid, hardworking Iowans, and they're losing by 200 or 300 votes, which is a handful. And we knew something was going on, but we couldn't identify what. And it was a reporter for Atlantic Monthly that discovered it, and he started putting it all together that this was a coordinated attack by Tim Gill, and of Oracle fame. That's where he got most of his money, and he's a very pronounced homosexual. And he got a bunch of his buddies to give $1,000 here, $1,000 here, and next thing you know, we're losing at the state house, and now our hands are tied. They got us backed in a corner, and there's not much we can do about it. And that's really the most egregious thing. I mean, regardless of where you stand on this issue, the process that they went through, if they can do this on same-sex marriage, they can do it on a whole host of other issues. And they intentionally bypassed the legislative process. They knew it wasn't going to happen legislatively, and they just went right to the judiciary. And to me, that's going to be the downfall of this whole thing. Is if we allow seven people to overturn the legislative process, that is really scary, scary stuff.
Folks, you can stay informed on the battle over same-sex marriage in Iowa. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click the on-demand page and look for a link to the Iowa Family Policy Center. Issuesetc.org. Click on-demand and look for that link to the Iowa Family Policy Center. Mike Hartwig is vice president of the Iowa Family Policy Center based in Pleasant Hills, Iowa. Mike, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks.
Well, when we come back from this break, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. We're going to devote the entire hour to a subject that some people don't think is that significant anymore. The real bright lights of the Word Faith movement, the Prosperity Gospel movement, are all aging and retiring to their mansions or to their Caribbean homes, taking their private jets bought by their ministries to places far afield from their studios where they once really put forth the prosperity gospel. There's still a few on the scene, but the big ones are dying off and going away. But are they? You know that the largest megachurch in the United States, Joel Osteen's church and Joel Osteen himself, are thoroughly within the Word Faith camp, the prosperity gospel camp. You name it, you claim it. You make a positive confession that God is bound by the force of your faith to act. And if he doesn't have the force of your faith, he can't do anything in the world or in your life. And that he promises you riches and wealth beyond your wildest imagination. That's the message that's getting preached at the largest church in the United States, Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. I think the Word Faith movement is still with us. May have morphed into a softer form, but we'll talk about the Word Faith movement in the second hour of the program with Bob Leko. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.